Good morning. How are you guys doing? You good? I hope you're doing well. Welcome to those of you who are on watching online. As always, we'd like to invite you to come be a part of our services if you live in DeSoto County. But we're glad that you're tuning in online and that we want to just welcome you here with us this morning. Well, let me tell you a story. I realized a few months ago how rebellious I really am. I got a smartwatch, and this smartwatch, it's awesome. It does a lot of good things, and I really enjoy it. Having it and just being able to, you know, look at my watch to see who's calling me and those kinds of things. But here's a couple of features that it has. One is that it comes on and it'll pop up and it'll tell me it's time to breathe. Now, that doesn't mean I'm holding my breath. What it means is it's time for me to, like, it wants me to, like, do this, like, breathing exercise thing for 1 minute that's supposed to calm you and soothe you and all those kinds of things. And it does monitor my heart rate, so I don't know exactly when it decides it's time for me to breathe, but every now and then it'll pop up and say, it's time to breathe. Another thing that it does is about once an hour, it'll pop up. If I haven't stood for a minute, like let's say I've been at work at my desk and I've just been working for an hour or two, it'll pop up and it'll say, it's time to stand for at least a minute. Here's how I realize how rebellious, and how deep my rebelliousness goes. I got that watch, and what I have noticed is here over the past couple months, when that thing pops up and says, it's time to breathe, my first thought and my first reaction is, guess what? I'm going to hold my breath till I pass out. And then I'll look at it, and it'll pop up, and it'll say, it's time to stand. I'm like, nope, it's time to lay down. That's my first reaction, this first thought that comes into my head. That streak of rebellion, the Bible teaches that it's something that lives inside all of us. We've all got it. It's that streak of rebellion that comes out when somebody cuts you off on 240 and you're like, all right, that's how we're going to play. Let's play. And you begin to try to take matters into your own hands. And we've all got this sort of this idea, this rebellious nature in us that just when somebody says, hey, I think that's black, we want to go, that's white. Or when it's blue, no, that's not blue. And you see it in kids, you see it in students, and you see it in adults. Adults, we just learn how to manage it a little bit better. But here's the deal is we've all got this streak in us, this side of us. And one thing that really sort of illustrates it is the old story, if you remember, of Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde. Some of you may have seen sort of the old black and white movie. I've got a picture here just to sort of give us an image to wrap around, our minds around. But it's an old story, and it's got an old movie. It's kind of cheesy, but the picture is really good because you've got the gentle Dr. Jekyll who does good. He loves people. He cares about people. And he creates this potion, and he takes it that removes all of his inhibitions, all the things that make him say, don't do that. That's wrong. And he becomes Mr. Hyde. And he gives in to all those thoughts, and it turns him into a very evil person, turns him into a murderer. Really, and what I'm suggesting to you, and what I think the Bible is teaching, is that we've all got a Dr. Jekyll, where, hey, we're gentle, we're nice, we're loving, but then we've also got a Mr. Hyde. And it's letting go of these inhibitions that allows Mr. Hyde to come out. Or another way you could say it is we've all got good and evil. Especially if you're a Christ follower, you've got Jesus in you, but you've got this other nature living inside of you as well. Let me give you another picture to kind of illustrate it. You know, this first picture, we've all got some good in us. No matter what side of the flag you're on, at least we can get behind the fact that, hey, it's Mississippi, right? I mean, I know some of you feel strongly that, you know, Mississippi State is of the devil or Ole Miss. But hey, let's just all be on the same page for one Sunday morning here and say, hey, they're both Mississippi teams. They're both good. But then some of us have a little bit of evil inside of us as well, right? You know, like we just can't help ourselves sometimes. It's just like, oh, just, you know, I give into this thing. And it takes over us. And those of you who are Alabama fans who want me to stop making fun of them, my retort is stop being so good. There you go. But anyway, here's the point is we've all got this stuff in us. We've all got these two natures. And that's exactly what Paul teaches is that you and I are in a fight. We're in the fight of our lives for our lives. But here's the good news about the fight, and here's the big idea where we're going to land today is that you and I, as we're followers of Christ, I fight from victory, not for victory. And this is a big difference. There's a big difference between thinking I have to fight to earn a victory in my life, or I have to fight to make a victory that has already been earned a reality in my life. And really where the battle happens, where the fight is taking place is between my ears. Every single one of us, I don't care if you're a student or an adult, we're all fighting this battle right here between our ears. And it's a mindset that we have to make a shift in our understanding of who we are, how we're living in this world, what this world is, what sin is, and how it lives inside of us. Because here's the reality that a lot of us deal with is that we've got this fight going on inside of us and we don't even always realize it. And so sometimes it feels like we're not making any progress. And what the apostle's gonna teach us today from Romans chapter 7 is that we have a victory that is not our own, but can be our own, that we don't have to give in to defeat. And what's the good news is that we don't have to earn this victory because we fight from it, not for it. Let me give you an example. This morning, I had my daughter, Elise. She's 18 months old. And we were back here in the warehouse of the church where there's a lot of stuff stored back there. One of the things that is stored back there is a life-size camel, stuffed camel. And it's up on top of a shelf, and so it's about 10 to 15 feet up off the ground. Now, Elise, she has never been to that area of the church building. And so she was walking, and she spotted that thing, and she looked up at it, and I could see the sort of fear come over her face. And so I picked her up, and like any good father does, you're like, we got to get over this. So I stepped her closer, and I stepped her another step closer. And man, she turned blood red and started kicking me, fighting me, punching me, scratching me, just screaming, just like, get me away from this, because, and just fighting, everything she had was fighting because she was terrified of that thing. Now, here's what she didn't understand. I'm her father. I'm not gonna let anything happen to her. Nothing's gonna happen. As long as she's safe in my arms, nothing's gonna happen. And yet, the very one who can keep her safe, she's fighting against. Here's the other thing she didn't realize. That thing is dead. It's stuffed. It can't do anything. It's powerless, useless. But yet she was still terrified of it. Here's the picture. A lot of times when you and I feel like we are defeated, we can't make it, that's how we're living with Jesus. He's got us safe in his arms, and we are kicking at him, clawing at him, scratching at him, and we're looking at the world around us that he says he has overcome. What does he say? Don't fear the world. Why? Because I have overcome the world. And yet every day there is the potential to fear when we take our eyes off of the one holding us and look at the stuff around us. And then we begin to say, well, I've got to earn victory, not fight from victory. I've got to do something about this situation. Because what Jesus did, yeah, it saved me, but it's not enough to handle this one. And stress and anxiety and fear and worry and all of these emotions that we've been talking about here for the last 6-7 weeks come flooding back in. And all of a sudden, again, we're overwhelmed. We can't take it. We're at the end of our rope. I've got nothing left to give. And I love you, and I don't want you to live that way. Jesus doesn't want you to live that way. Because he's looking at you saying, I've earned this victory. You don't have to live defeated. You don't have to live worn out. You don't have to live like you're fighting in life. You can live victoriously in life. What we saw last week in Romans chapter 6 is that you and I, we are as free as we want to be. The only thing that puts us back in prison is our own choices, is this own battle that's going on in our minds. Let me read to you the last, it won't be on the screen, but the last few verses, or a couple verses from Romans chapter 6 to kind of get us set up for Romans 7. In Romans chapter 6, this is what the apostle says. He says, thank God, once you and I, we were slaves to sin, but now you wholeheartedly obey this teaching we have given you. And now you are free from your slavery to sin, and you have become slaves to righteous living. You have become a slave, so to speak, in a good sense, to Jesus. You are as free as you want to be, which means you've got a victory in your life that is not your own, but that can be yours when you receive it. And you can live in it and walk in it, and you can have the power of it every single day of your life. And then we get to Romans chapter 7. Because when you read that and you think, okay, I'm as free as I want to be, but man, I sure don't feel like that sometimes. I don't always live like that sometimes. And I've got this, I feel like I've got this fight going on in my life. And the apostle says, yes, you do. All of us have this battle in our minds happening every single moment of every single day where we, you and I are going to make the choice. Am I going to fight for victory or am I going to live from victory? And how do we fight? And that's really what he unpacks in chapter 7 is he says, okay, we've got this amazing thing called God's law. How do we use it to fight sin and these things that are getting after us in our lives? So let's jump in to Romans chapter 7, starting in verse 14. And here's what the apostle teaches us. He says this, so the trouble is not with the law. When he says the law right here, he is talking about God's law. Things like the Ten Commandments, the Old Testament, some laws that really were given so that you and I would understand ourselves better. And that's the whole purpose of the law, so that some things in our lives would be brought to the surface, and we'll see that here in just a second. For the law, it is spiritual and good. So then the trouble is with me, for I am all too human, a slave to sin. I don't really understand myself. How many of you can, you don't raise your hand, but how many of you can relate to the Apostle Paul right here? I don't get it. I don't understand why I always do the things that I do. For I want to do what is right, but I don't do it. Instead, I do what I hate. I have this image in my head of the Apostle here as he's explaining this, thinking about maybe words that he said. I mean, you say words sometimes, and the moment that the last word gets off of your tongue, you're like trying to grab it air to pull it back in. Maybe it's with a spouse, maybe it's with your kids, maybe it's with your boss or a coworker, and you know that the moment you say it, it's like, ooh, that's not going to be good. It's not going to land well. It's not going to end well, and you just did something that you hate. It's like, why did I do that? Where did that come from? Continues on in verse 16. But if I know what I am doing is wrong, this shows that I agree that the law is good. So if I know it's wrong, this says that what God said is wrong is good. Like what he's saying, like God said it's wrong. I know it's wrong. That means it's wrong. It's good that God showed me that it's wrong. So I am not the one doing it. It is sin living in me that does it. So here's the first mindset that we need to fight this battle, because the battle happens in our minds. The first thing that we need to know is that I am fighting a split self. That's what the apostle tells us here, is there are two natures living inside of me. There is the Dr. Jekyll, if you will, the sweet, gentle nature doctor, and there is the Mr. Hyde, the evil side of me. And these two natures are constantly at war with each other, constantly battling one another. And the battle is happening between my ears right here in my mind. Here's the good news, though, is that I have a power in Jesus when I have received the gospel, when I am a follower of Christ. I have a power in Jesus that is not my own, that allows the side of me that always wants to defeat sin, that doesn't want to do it, to overcome the side of me that wants to do sin. That's the power that you and I have. And so Paul is saying that, look, God's law is good, because it gives us a power that we wouldn't have on our own, and it gives us an understanding that we wouldn't have on our own. But what we have to understand is that this war I'm fighting myself. And this is important, especially when it comes to the idea of like stress, anxiety, and worry, and all these emotions that we deal with, is that you and I were fighting ourselves, because so often I want to say, well, it's those people that caused this, or this situation that did this, or my spouse did this, and I want to feel like and say that it's the stuff and the people that are around me that are my enemies. And the apostle says, no, they're not the primary enemy. The primary enemy is living inside of me, not outside of me. And I have to realize and understand and get into the mindset that I am fighting a split self. That there's a side of me that wants to do what is right, but there is another side of me that wants to do what is wrong. And God's law shows me what that is. And so he says, look, you're not fighting God. God is just exposing the truth for what it is. So you can't get mad at God about this either. It's a lot like this picture here. Imagine if you go to the beach and you see this picture. There we go. shark-infested waters. Now, you got some choices. You can get mad at the sign. That sign's so stupid. I can't believe that sign. You can get mad at the person who put the sign up. I can't believe that stupid lifeguard put that sign up. Or you can just ignore it. Ah, that's probably fake. And go swimming and let sharks think you're just a good Chick-fil-A chicken biscuit. But if you learn to look at it a different way, what you can learn to see is you can be thankful to the sign and for the one who put it up because they acknowledged a reality that was dangerous to you. That's the picture that the apostle is saying here. He's like, look, you got to know what you're fighting. And God's law helps you understand what you're fighting. It acknowledges the reality. So Paul's saying, look, don't get mad at God's law. Don't get mad at God. Understand what God is doing for you. He's helping you understand something that is going to destroy your life if you don't see it for what it is. You got to know where the battlefield is happening and know what the battle is so that you can take the victory that is yours and apply it to the battle. If you don't know what you're fighting against, it's hard to know when you've won and when you've lost. You got to know what you're fighting. It reminds me of a story my dad told me when I was growing up. My dad he wasn't the tallest of guys. He was 5'6", but he was a scrapper. He was born in 1950, so he grew up in the 60s, and he fought a lot. That's just kind of part of who he was. And his job, since he was usually, they called him the little guy in his group of friends, his job was to go into the arcade at a younger age and then later on go into the bar, and he would stir up trouble and then bring it outside, and then all his buddies would pummel everybody because they were all the bigger guys. And so they sent the little guy in, and everybody would be like, oh, we can fight the little guy, and they'd come out and they'd get destroyed. So my dad grew up fighting quite a bit. Well, he had this, I think he never told me how old he was, but I think he was in high school, late high school, maybe junior, senior. And there was a young lady at his school that he liked. And he wanted to take her out on a date. He said, man, she was pretty. You know, a lot of people liked her. She was popular. And so I asked her out. And I worked myself up and asked her out. And she said yes. And he was kind of shocked. He was prepared for her to say no. But she agreed. And so he took her out. He wanted to take her to the movies. And he said, you know, there wasn't an empty seat anywhere in the movie theater. It was jam-packed, full. He said, I was sitting here, the girl was sitting here, and then there was another guy sitting on the other side of her. And he said, for the first hour to hour and a half of that movie, that guy hit on her the whole time. I'm sitting right here, and the guy's just hitting on her, making eyes at her, you know, saying stuff to her. He said, I would lean over and say, hey, buddy, she's with me. And he wouldn't care. He just kept, you know, saying stuff to her and hitting on her. And my dad, he said, I just had enough. I said, that's it. You and I, let's take this outside. And so they did. They took it outside. And my dad was accustomed to fighting, so he knew what to do. And so he gave that guy a good 1-2, knocked him down. The guy fell down behind this car. My dad couldn't see when he fell down. And a couple seconds later, he got back up and came back for more. My dad gave it to him again, knocked him, hit him right square in the jaw, knocked him down again. The kid fell down behind this car again. He came back, and this just went on. He would get, you know, knocked out, knocked down, and fall down behind this car, and then he'd come back for about 10 minutes. And then finally, he got back up, and my dad, he said, I was worn out. I couldn't do it anymore. I just told him, I put my hands up, and I said, man, I'm done. I can't throw another punch, can't throw another lick. I can't fight anymore. And I'll never forget what he said next. He said, that kid turned around and said, all right, Johnny, he gave up. And his twin brother stood up from behind the car and walked out. He had been fighting two people, and he had no clue he was fighting two people. Twins, dressed exactly the same, looked exactly the same. He beat them both, but they wore him down. If you don't know what you're fighting, you're going to get worn down. And so you got to know what you're fighting. You're fighting a split self. You're fighting a nature that wants to compete against Jesus. It is a mindset shift that you need to have of understanding what is going on inside of you. So then the apostle continues helping us understand this fight. Verse 18, he says, and I know that nothing good lives in me. That's a powerful statement. And this is the apostle Paul talking. I mean, this is a man who wrote over half of your New Testament that you have in your Bible, and he says, nothing good lives in me, in my sinful nature. That is, in my sinful nature. I want to do what is right, but I can't. I want to do what is good, but I don't. I don't want to do what is wrong, but I do it anyway. But if I do what I don't want to do, I am not the really one doing it. It is sin living in me that does it. And what he's saying is that this sin, this darkness that is in me, it is such a part of me that it comes out of me even when I don't want it to. And so what he's saying here is that we need to take God's law and I need to uncover the dark sides of my life. I've got to expose them for what they are and let them be brought to the surface so that I can see them for what they are. And that's what God's law does. That's what God's word does, is it brings things to the surface and it exposes the dark sides of my life, these sides of my life that I want to just hide and act like they're not there. Things like anger and stress and frustration and so many other things that we could mention, but they live dark in the darkness of our hearts. And they need to be brought to the surface so that they can be seen for what they are. Let me give you an example. Now, when I give you this example, this is gonna be fun, all right? So I need you to take a deep breath. We're gonna laugh. You good? Okay, I'm gonna turn around and Chris is gonna play some music. All right, go ahead. That's right. See? Yeah. So all of us have a little bit of a dark side in us. All of us feel like the number one dad, a little bit of a darkness to us. And here's what I'm getting at, is Anakin, for those of you who are like diehard fans, like call him by his name, Anakin, Darth Vader, what he did is this, he allowed this sort of dark side of his life, this anger that he had, to be brought to the surface, but then he gave into it and indulged it. What the Apostle Paul's teaching us here is that we need to let it come to the surface, kind of just like happened, but then we have a power to overcome and defeat it once it's brought to the surface. But it's important that it has to come to the surface. And this is where the battle happens, because this is the hard part of is letting it come all the way up to the surface, because it's easier to just push it down and hide it. But here's what I want you to understand, because I love you. As your pastor, you need to understand this. Sin and darkness have power in secrecy, and they keep power in secrecy. When they're secret, they hold a grip on our lives that they can't hold when they're brought to the surface. This is why God says, look, I need to shine my light into your life so that we can bring these things to the surface and we can see them for what they are. Because the other side of it is when things are in darkness, when sin is in darkness, it looks a lot better than it does in the light. It changes forms. Once it gets in the light, it doesn't look as good. But let me tell you, let's just think about this for a minute. Why do you and I sin? Why do we do the things, like Paul says, why do we do the things that we don't want to do and the things that we hate to do? Why do we do them? You can say, well, it's because I have a sin nature. That's true. The other side of it is, though, is this, is we do those things because they look good. We like them. Let's just be real here. Like, we like it. It feels good for a minute. It has a season. Because if sin came to you and said this, it said, look, you're going to hate this when you do it. It's going to be awful, and it's going to be terrible, and it's really going to hurt your life, and it's going to destroy this aspect of your life. If sin did that, you and I would not have any problem with it whatsoever, would we? No problem. But here's what it does. It's a pig dressed up like something that looks better, and it comes to us and says, man, I will make you happy. I will give you pleasure. I will make all your dreams come true. I will fill your life with good things. Just give yourself over to me, and you will be the happiest you've ever been in your entire life. That's what it does. And we give into it because it looks good, and we like it. But then it gets brought to the surface, and it loses its power when it's brought out of the darkness and the secrecy. Let's get right down to brass tacks here for a minute. Men, Pornography looks good when it's a secret. But when it's brought to the surface, it's exposed for the ugliness that it is. And it needs to be brought to the surface. One thing that's going on in our culture right now, you see it, racism. It is ugly. And in secrecy, it has power. And if that's something that's living inside your heart, my friend, you need to confess it because it is from the pit of hell. It's ugly. And you need to let it be brought to the surface. And while what's happening right now, fake news or not, I don't know. I can't make sense of all of that kind of stuff. And so what's happening right now, as awful and as ugly as it is, this is what sin does. When it comes to the surface, you see it for what it is. It's ugly. But when you try to hide it and keep it a secret, I'm telling you, it's got a power in your life that you can't fight on your own. One of the best weapons that you have to fight sin in your life, no matter what it is, even if it's not those two subjects that I just mentioned, no matter what it is, the best weapon that you have is to confess. Is to confess it. Confess it to God. Let him, I mean, he knows it's there already. So just open your mouth and confess it. Sometimes I just got to say it. And it makes me realize how deep it is. Confess it to someone that you trust. It's not going to gossip about you and spill the beans everywhere, but just confess it. The Bible says in 1 John 1:9, if you confess your sin, Jesus is faithful and just to forgive you and cleanse you. He makes you clean, but you got to confess it because when I don't confess it, it has a power in secrecy. So it needs to be brought to the surface. I need to uncover the dark side. And look, the reason I can do this, the reason we can do this is because we fight from victory, not for victory, because here's what's going to happen. And again, this happens in your mind. Here's what's going to happen. When you say, okay, I'm going to confess, your mind is going to tell you, wait a minute. If you confess that, what is so-and-so going to think? Or what if this happens? Or what if that happens? And all kinds of mental games are going to begin to go on in your head. That's where you've got to fight that battle and say, look, it doesn't matter what so-and-so thinks, says, or does. What matters is what Jesus has said and done for me. That's what matters. So-and-so doesn't get the last word in my life. Jesus gets that. And so you've got a victory in Jesus that allows you to be able to confess the things that you need to confess and to allow them to be brought to the surface so that you can fight them. The apostle continues on. Verse 21, he says this, I have discovered this principle in life, that when I want to do what is right, I inevitably do what is wrong. I love God's law with all my heart. If you are a follower of Christ, that is true for you as well. You love God's law. That is the true you, your true nature. Not this other side, but that side. But there is another power within me that is at war with my what? My mind. It is happening between your ears. This power makes me a slave to the sin that is still within me. Oh, what a miserable person I am. Who will free me from this life that is dominated by sin and death? Put the next verse up, please. I want you to say these first two words with me. 1, 2, 3. Thank God. Let's say them again. Thank God. One more time. Thank God. The answer is in Jesus Christ, our Lord. So here's the deal. You fight from victory, not for victory. The last thing the apostle wants you to get into your mind is this, is that despite the fight, I am gloriously complete in Jesus. Yeah, I'm at war. Yeah, I'm at war with for my life. I am at the war. I'm in the war of my life for my life. And if I don't kill this stuff, it will kill me. But regardless, I am fighting from victory, not for victory. I don't have to earn victory because Jesus did that. I don't have to defeat the power of sin because Jesus did that. I deal with the presence of it, but not the power or the penalty of it. Jesus took all of that. And so now I stand in Jesus, gloriously complete. Yeah, I fight every single day. But what I am doing is I'm not fighting to earn something. I am fighting to apply what Jesus earned. I am fighting to apply the love of the gospel. I am fighting to apply the assurance that Jesus gives me, that though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? Because his rod and his staff, they what? They guide me. They are with me. Jesus is walking with you, before you. His power is present in your life. You're never alone. You're never powerless. You have a power that is not your own because of what Jesus has done for you, that you don't have to live defeated. You don't have to give in to stress. You don't have to give in to anxiety. You don't have to give in to worry. But you can look at those things and say, you are a defeated enemy in Jesus. And they no longer dominate your life. And here's how this works. Sin and Satan, they were at one point foreign conquerors in your life. They came in and they conquered. But then the Bible says the true king came in Jesus, and he defeated both of them, crushed them both, the Bible says. And now Satan has no power, sin has no power. As it says in Revelation, death, where is your sting? Nothing has power over us any longer because of the power of Jesus. And Jesus comes in as the true king who deserves our hearts, who deserves our lives, and he rules our hearts, and he rules our lives, and his banner flies over us. And Satan has been pushed to the perimeter. But the reality is this, is that though sin and Satan, they live in the perimeter, they don't live in the center of my life any longer. But here's what they love to do. They love to run into the center of my life, make a huge mess, and then run out and say, it wasn't us, we didn't do it. They love to hide in secret. Here's what I want you to understand. You have got to expose them for who they are in your life. Sin is a defeated enemy. Satan is a defeated enemy. And they're both defeated by the power of Jesus through the blood of the cross. And you, when you stand in Jesus, you are gloriously complete. One hymn writer says it like this. He says, lay your deadly doing down, down at Jesus' feet, and stand in him, and stand gloriously complete. My friends, you've got a battle you can fight because Jesus fought a battle that you and I could never win, and he won decisively. And his victory is now your victory. And what the apostle's teaching you today is to take that victory that Jesus earned and get it into your mind. Remember it. Meditate on it. Remind yourself of it. And when sin and Satan want to fight, you take the fight to them. And you take the victory to them. If you will, bow your heads, close your eyes. I want to pray for you and with you. I want to start by giving those of you an opportunity who have never given your life to Jesus. You've never received him as Savior. You've never put your trust in him. I want to give you an opportunity to do that this morning. And the way you can do that is just in the silence of your own mind, you can just say these words and repeat them after me and say this prayer. God, I no longer want to have sin and Satan ruling in my life. God, I want sin and Satan to be defeated in my life. And God, I believe that Jesus died to pay the penalty for my sin. And God, I believe that Jesus rose from the dead. And God, I receive him as my Lord and my Savior. And God, I give you my life. And God, I want to follow you for the rest of my life. And God, help me to fight this battle. I pray this in Jesus' name.